This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, let's go right to him, man. There's a lot of stuff going back to the year 2013. Bullygate, Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, and Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald joins us. And Omar, I saw where you said you were reporting lies during the Incognito Bullygate. What did you mean you were reporting lies? I didn't get that.
I felt like they were lies. People, remember the Bullygate where I forget what Jonathan Martin's lawyer was, his name was.
His mother?
No, his lawyer.
Oh, no. Because she apparently, he's throwing it all on his mom now. He was doing what his mom.
I could see that, and I didn't like, but I understood the fact that she did not want to participate in the story, did not want to be part of the story. And listen, we've all got mothers. They're ultra protective, Joe. You know your mom would have protected you too.
Not at that level.
I don't know.
I'm not from today's thing. No. My mom and dad, like, you got yourself in this mess, or you ain't quitting. They weren't like, hey, you're right, babe. I didn't get any of that. Nope, not a lick.
So the point I was making was, at that time of the remember Bullygate? Remember CNN and all these
every
news
day,
networks?
Every day.
for 2 months, we're inside the Dolphins locker room. And, you know, I was talking to my colleague Isaiah Smalls, and I was trying to explain it to him. And I was like, you remember how everybody in the world was in our locker room after Tyree got arrested the next day? Imagine that for about 6 weeks. That was what Bullygate was like. And it was such a national big story. And the lawyer or representatives for Jonathan Martin, remember he just kept teasing out negative stuff about Richie to sort of paint the narrative and control the story and sort of force the hand of Ted Wells. Well, I always knew Jonathan wasn't bullied. Jonathan was soft. And even though Richie's behavior was not acceptable at times, his teammates and his coaches never bullied him or created a hostile work environment. I think the NFL was just a hostile work environment. And keep in mind that I have seen more than a dozen Dolphins players struggle with what Jonathan Martin struggled with. And, you know, and fall to prey of depression and anxiety.
Oh, we've had a bunch, yes. Yes,
and drugs, resort to drugs. Jonathan wasn't the first. He won't be the last. He was just, in my opinion, and I knew this before Bullygate even happened, mentally not prepared for the NFL.
The league is not for everybody, man. I heard everybody, and Nolan Carroll was with us early this morning, yeah, and said the same thing, man. It's not for everybody. But those guys, liked him. I remember Pounce and the rest of those guys going, yep. Man, you can say whatever you want about Richie. I'm telling you right now, guys on this team like Richie Incognito. And by the way,
they defended him. Yep.
Yes, they're still looking for guards that can play like him.
Yes, that's correct. Richie went on to become a Pro Bowler after he was banished from the NFL for a year and a half.
Pretty amazing story, yeah.
And really, it took Rex Ryan and John Gruden to let him back in the league. But because Richie could play, played 13 seasons. So, you know, props to Richie. And nobody's saying Richie's a choir boy because, you know, the hardest thing to defend is Richie's use of the N-word, which I blame basically John Jerry and Mike Pouncey for because, you know, they gave him a N-word pass. And that's not acceptable. And, you know, the way he talked to Jonathan Martin, you know, Richie came from, unfortunately, a house that abuse was his parent. And so Richie only knew how to love through abuse, in my opinion. And that's not acceptable. You know, maybe it was a bad cocktail of Richie and Jonathan being best friends, Mr. Tough Guy with Mr. Softy. But, you know, it wasn't what they made it out to be. And I'm proud of Jonathan Martin for finally admitting that. But it should have started with an apology.
Did you talk to Richie Incognito? Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
He's talked to the world. I was a little surprised when he talked to the world after the fact. After I wrote my column.
I'm sure it's bothered him after all these years because he's had his own mental issues and this stuff just the things mm-hmm. he's been accused of. If like
he's a face of bullying in America.
Yes.
And probably will always be the face of bullying. And I don't think that's fair. I know this firsthand. There was nobody on that team who was closer than Jonathan Martin to then Richie Incognito. Nobody cared about Jonathan Martin more than Richie Incognito. Yes. Was some of his behavior abusive? Absolutely. Was some of his antics, you know, abusive and could be considered bullying? Yes. But he was trying, that was his little brother. And unfortunately, you know, not everybody is meant to be somebody's mentor.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you about all that stuff. And
very traumatic time in my life, Joe.
Yeah. No, I got it when you said you felt like you had to lie. You had to write what everybody else was.
I mean, as a reporter, you have to write what's the new news. And remember, that used to be a period where every day crap got put out there about, you know. And literally, the Ted Wells report was about 144 pages of their stupid texts back and forth to one another.
So, what do you think now that Ted Wells did this whole thing? And by the way, they cleaned. We had a trainer lose his job. You had a coach mm-hmm. lose it. There are a lot of people went down with this whole thing all over the building with these interviews and stuff that were being mm-hmm. done while you're trying to play football games during the week. And they're going, oh, stay out of it. We got our independent investigator mm-hmm. from the NFL in there. What did you think about Ted Wells with what he came up with then?
I think he came up with a conclusion that needed to be made so that he could and the NFL could put a pretty bow on it and get it in their past. And, you know, maybe change the culture of football. Because remember, they don't shave players' heads no more, Joe. You know, the toughest thing
that's a good point. You know what? That's funny you said. I haven't seen that in a long time. You're right.
The toughest thing they make them do is sing their fight song in front of.
Oh, I was going to say grab their shoulder pads, make them carry in the pads.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if I see that anymore. Did you have your head shaved, Joe?
No, but I sang. I had a big mouth. And I changed the songs. I'd sing other guys' fight songs and put like change the words around, take little jabs at them. And I was like, I like doing it because they told me, hey man, they'll have you up there if you fight this at all. They'll have you up there every night. So I literally, can I do another song? And now y'all sit down.
Yep.
Yeah.
They. You know,
mine was relentless, man. Mine was. we had friggin' chugging contests, and I'd be sitting ready to throw up from chugging beers like an hour earlier for the meetings after practice.
The worst thing they make them do is make them buy that ridiculous expensive dinner, and you know.
Yeah, I did bring that up.
they have to bring food. They have to bring food for the team flight.
Yeah, that's around too. Ours was all conks.
Yeah, to get conk
fritters. Crack conk, okay. Yeah. Crack conk was huge.
Crack conk, okay, yeah.
That was a go-to, yeah. That was good. So you had to do that, and if you didn't, yeah. There was like, you know, yeah, it was, there was a lot of crazy stuff, and by the way, a lot of guys fought it, and a lot of guys lost, man, and the team was
Joe, they were bullied. You realize that, right, Joe?
Well, you just can't do it anymore. Times have changed, and we're things are a lot different.
We're a much softer culture now,
Joe. My dad has reminded me that I was raised differently than matter of fact, I was sitting with him, and he brought it up again. He kind of hit me with, you can't say anything. Yeah, you didn't, the way I raised you, not the way you were raising those kids. I go, you're right. You're right. I look at him and go, you're right.
You can't.
I'm not saying anything's wrong with your kids, but I go, you're right. You're right.
I remember there was a day I got beat in high school. I got beat in elementary school, not by my parents, but by my teacher. I used to get beat by the principal.
See that with you, Omar. You might need a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
Wait a second. Are you saying? I thought you missed that. You didn't miss that where you got it at home, the principal and the teacher.
I think it was helpful for me.
Woody, wait a sec.
Was it a little bit of abuse? Probably.
Wait a sec, Omar. You're telling me Carroll City. You're talking before Carroll City High School.
I can't remember if it was Jamaica or Carroll City. I can't remember. I know it was definitely Jamaica. I probably got beat in school by my parents, maybe in front of my class.
You're saying Jamaica? They got after it over in Jamaica.
Oh yeah, man, with a ruler. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, so I got to ask you about this before I forget. So Finns released Raheem and Kendall and Durham Smythe, and I don't know if anybody was really surprised by it. But does this move
Kendall was a surprise. Kendall was absolutely a surprise. Well, I don't know if he was going to be healthy enough to participate in the season because, you know, remember, he suffered his knee injury in December. But it's not like they saved a ton of money because they didn't even designate him a June 1st release. But that means they saved their two June 1st releases for other guys.
So let me
keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's a good one, by the way. I'll get back to that. But I want to ask you, so now all of a sudden I look at Jalen Ramsey. Okay, Kader Kohou. Okay, in the slot inside.
No, Kader's a restricted free agent, by the way.
Is he?
So, yes, he is.
They get him.
He's not on your team yet.
They get him back, though, right? Or no?
More than likely, unless some team decides that they want to give him a multi-year deal, because they're going to put a original round tender on him and basically just allow other teams to bid and get a right of first refusal. I believe David Cantor's his agent. David's a pretty good agent. So hopefully David could get him a multi-year deal. But I expect Kader to be back.
So who else? Storm Duck played a lot of football at the end of the year, but who else do you have in there?
That wonderful Cam Smith.
I'm not trusting him. Can't trust him. Well, go ahead.
He didn't perform much worse than Storm Duck. Like, you know, listen. And,
at least he was available.
Yeah, that's true. And he was he's a draft pick. Cam Smith, you can't ignore Cam Smith because his team favors their draft picks. So, but yeah, they're going to have to go out in free agency and address cornerback. When they released Kendall Fuller, they just made it a need, a priority.
Yeah, a priority, exactly. I just want to make sure you were thinking the same thing on that. So we have the club. Who do you think could be? What happens with Bradley Chubb? Everybody's asking me.
I don't know. They're going to obviously try to shake him down. That's just the Dolphins' way. If I'm Bradley, I let them shake me down because, you know, making $10 million is a lot better than is a lot better than going out in free agent market on a ACL injury and testing the market. But if Bradley doesn't want to be here or he doesn't like South Florida, he'd probably just say cut me and let me go out there and get myself a new deal.
I can
honestly tell you I don't know what happens there. Yeah. I think they're going to go and create about $30 million in cap space. To do that, you got to go to the Bank of Tua. You got to shake down Bradley Chubb. You got to shake down Teron Armstead.
So that's a good one, too, the Teron Armstead. You think he's going to play?
Yes, I'm pretty sure he's going to play. I would bet money that he's going to play. The question is he going to play here? And I'm of the opinion that Mike McDaniels absolutely, without a doubt, unequivocally needs him. Even if he doesn't play the entire season, they just need his leadership. You can't lose him and Calais Campbell in the same season and think you're just going to, ho-hum, just keep everything going.
What do you do?
You need strong veteran leadership.
And by the way, I agree. And I think he's the only guy. He's the only guy that Tyreek Hill respects of the veteran players that will listen. I think that's the only guy. That's just my opinion of watching it.
No, Jalen Ramsey, he respects him. But he Tyreek. Let me see.
I'm not sure Jalen Ramsey will ever say anything to him though. Hey, man.
Tyreek? Yeah. He might even agree with Tyreek. What you talking about? Him and Tyreek are probably in lockstep. Raheem was a leader. That's the thing. They're getting rid of the leaders, and so other leaders have to step up. That means Zach Seeler. That means Jordan Brooks. Yeah. But Zach, you want Zach to step up? You're gonna have to improve that contract.
I don't think that's Zach's personality to go. Hey, you need to do this.
He's trying to. He says he's learned a lot from Calais Campbell about from a leadership standpoint.
Hey.
Like all these guys are learn from Calais. You can't just be that quiet guy. If you want to change a team's culture, you want to be an impactful player, you got to talk to.
Okay, so what do we do with Patrick Paul and his growth as a player? Besides, I know you've told me he gets to play all of camp and
yeah.
And so what happens
all of camp, all the exhibition season? If he does well, cool, put him out there. But okay. I don't.
So they're telling Teron he may be coming here as a backup.
No. I don't think there's any chance Patrick Paul's better than Teron. Teron before Teron started getting hurt.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I know how good he is.
Best tackle in the NFL.
It's just of him staying healthy. But no, there's no question. I've never seen a guy that good that never practices. He is.
We know he's not going to stay healthy. The question is, can you do without his leadership? And my answer to that question is absolutely not. Not with a young, inexperienced offensive line. You remove Teron, Austin Jackson immediately becomes the veteran of that line.
Yeah.
And you want to go into a season Austin Jackson as a veteran of your line?
No, I don't. But I know we got to upgrade this thing in a big, big way. And
but you can upgrade all of the interiors. You can upgrade the interior spots. You don't have to I like the stabilizing presence of Teron, not just from a leadership standpoint. Even if he's good for 10 games, that's 10 games of good left tackle play. And then young boy Patrick Paul could get in there and fill in for the other seven games and start to cut his teeth a little bit better. I didn't say he performed poorly last season because I don't think he did, and I think if you gave him more playing time, he would perform better. But is he ready to become an NFL left tackle right now? My answer to that question would be no.
Well, that's a good point. You know, our draft picks, it takes year three or four. You know what? You bring up a good point there. Hey,
that's a cheap shot, Joe.
No, it wasn't a cheap shot.
Omar,
we had so much.
Accurate, but it was a cheap shot.
No, Omar, you know what? We got a lot of stuff that I wanted to get to here. We ran out of time. But thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
You take care.
Anytime, Joe.
I didn't even get to Valentine's Day and you D-ing up or not D-ing up there. But anyway, hey, that's Omar Kelly.
I did all right, Joe.
What are you sending out on social media? Valentine's Day, I'm D-ing up.
No. I said all I'm doing is because all these people want to do is attack me all day on Twitter. I said all I'm doing is giving out love and D. Everybody else, y'all could go elsewhere.
So people been getting on you a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, every day, Joe. It's Twitter's such a horrible place now. It's like I wish I had someplace else to go.
You create it.
No, I didn't create Twitter. Elon Musk created
it. It's self-inflicted, this stuff you're doing, man. All right, I got to run. I'm running super late. Omar Kelly with us. All right, hey, we got to go to Atlantic Men's Clinic. ED and low T, man, nothing to mess with. Oh, no, and if you're going through it, you don't have to. Now, the Atlantic Men's Clinic, 10 months ago, I did not want to go to that meeting. And they're going, please just go. Just hear what they have to say. Little did they know that I had ED and low T when I was going to that meeting. And I got to tell you, I loved everything I heard. Got all my testing done. I did the T, the PSA test, and everything else, man. Got it done. Got the results. Got on a program and got rocking and rolling right away. had great results right away, and I want to share them with everybody, man. If your energy level's not where it was and you're not working out and you gain some weight because you're not doing anything but watching TV and sleeping more, and if you've noticed your sex drive is gone, it's normal. Sooner or later, ED and low T can hit every man out there. They can laugh at us and everything they want, but sooner or later, 40s, 50s, 60s, it happens to every guy, everybody. And then what do? Do you just let it happen, or are you going to take care of the problem so you can enjoy your life, 40s and 50s and 60s, and get more out of it, including chasing that little lady around? It was important to me. I think it's important to you, too. Hey, here's what I want. We got six locations in South Florida to serve. You got to set up that first appointment, hear what they have to say, and find out just how good the results will be. 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com. You got to set up that first appointment. Thank you, Atlantic Men's Clinic. It works.